Andy Eide is all over it. He covers the Seattle Kraken for NHL.com. Excellent junior coverage as well by Andy over the last number of years. Been following him for quite some time on Twitter, and he joins us today. Andy, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
My pleasure. Doing great. A little busy this morning, but it's all in good fun.
Yes, just from a general point of view, we don't have to get into a specific name here in the first question. From a general point of view, where are you at with what you've seen unveiled? We know virtually every selection thus far from the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, it's obvious that they've gone a little younger here to start. That was the big question. Where are they going to go? Getting some high value veterans or go for a younger team that maybe you could sustain and build around? And it seems that they've got a pretty young team right now. It looks like the defense is maybe the strong point, but we still don't know how many of these players are still going to be here after tonight or tomorrow. But right now it's looking like a young team.
You're in Washington State, so I'd love to know what the temperature is there around Carey Price. It was much debated up here in Canada over the last few days. I'm not surprised they didn't take Carey Price simply because of the way this organization is built. What was the discussion? Where were fans at with regard to this in Washington State?
Well, I think you had a mix. I think you had some fans who liked the idea of a guy who played his junior in state, 3 hours away from Seattle in Kennewick with the Tri-City Americans. And they liked that. And obviously, Carey Price is well-known, even amongst the most casual hockey fans. So I think the name recognition got a lot of attention here. Some people kind of looked at the contract, how long he still has left on that contract, his age, the potential for injury. And maybe it's like, maybe we shouldn't do that. So it was kind of a mixed bag here. The people who really wanted him were pretty passionate about it. He would have been the face of the franchise. There would have been jersey sales and all that. That would have skyrocketed. Maybe not the best idea for winning on the ice, but I think there was a lot of excitement about the possibility of seeing him here. You know, they quote-unquote in his home state, which isn't really his home state, but close to home.
Andy, you had mentioned, we just said, Carey Price right there, and you had mentioned earlier about the fact that Ron Francis didn't really go after any of those high-priced players like a Vladimir Tarasenko or a Ryan Johansson or a Matt Duchene. Does just emphasize the point of how much Ron Francis, at least right now, we don't know what's going to happen in the next coming days, but at least right now, values that cap flexibility that he's continuing to say throughout this process?
Yeah, I mean, he's brought that up almost every press conference he's had about not only cap flexibility, but the last Saturday, he talked about how important cap space was. And so, yeah, I think he stuck to that. But Francis likes to play it both ways, right? Because in the same breath, he'll say, he has the green light to spend up to the cap and be a cap team. So you never really know what that means with him. It's always, yes, we might or we won't. but it seems pretty obvious that cap flexibility and that cap space is what he wants. Because I think if you add up all these salaries that we've seen so far, he's just barely over the minimum. So they've got room to move. The free agency's coming up. We still don't know if they're going to bring on some salary through trades that we're going to hear about the next day or two. So there's still a lot of unknown, despite the fact that the roster has been leaked.
Do you think at all that Kraken, Ron Francis, a little peeved that some of this information got out there prior to the fact?
Probably disappointed. If you look at their history of the team, they've done such a good job of keeping secrets. We didn't know. There were zero leaks about the name and the logo and all that last July. There were even fewer leaks about the head coach and Dave Haxtell. No one saw that coming. I think they're probably a little disappointed. I think they wanted to have a big show tonight at Gaslight Park. I think it still will be a big show. But I do think this has stolen a little bit of their thunder. But there's no real way agents are going to talk, players are going to talk to the insiders out there. Some of the stuff leaked in the Vegas expansion draft as well. So they shouldn't be surprised, especially with how much time there is between when their list was due and the show tonight. So there's still a lot to watch at that show, though, even though we know the rosters, because I'm hoping we'll hear about some of these side deals or some trades that are happening.
Andy I covers the Seattle Kraken for NHL.com. He joins us today on Rintoul and Sermon. To this point, with what we've been led to believe from insiders, what is the most significant or eye-catching move that you've seen from the Seattle Kraken?
I look at what they did in Carolina. Going into it, I really thought Jake Bean was going to be picked, the young defenseman, who was a first-round pick of Ron Francis when he was the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. And we know Ron Francis, I think, in three of his four drafts that he had when he was there, that he took defensemen. He likes having defensemen. He's got a nice collection now. But then to come and see that it'd be Morgan Geeky, a forward, and not Bean, and then not even Nino Peter Ryder, who was also there as a more veteran player, a scorer. I'm a little surprised. I'm curious to see if there's something that came along with that, if Carolina offered something to stay away from Bean or Niederreiter. Those are two big pieces. Niederreiter was a big piece offensively. You saw what happened when he got hurt in the playoffs. They kind of fell off a little bit. And Jake Bean is kind of their up-and-coming defenseman. So I'm wondering if the idea of selecting Morgan Geeky came with something, a draft pick or something from Carolina. So I'm really intrigued to see that because that was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, that is one of the ones that screams. Take a look further on this. Which other moves of those that are out there have that beside them, that asterisk where you're saying, okay, I want to know more. Tell me what happened here.
I look at the New York Islanders. I really thought Josh Bailey was going to be their pick. And there was some talk that the Islanders didn't want to lose Bailey and that there was maybe some conversation going there. Not that Eberle's a bad player or a bad pick, but everything was pointing at them taking Bailey. So I'm really curious to see if that's another place where Seattle's going to get something extra out of the Islanders, some sort of compensation and potentially a draft pick of some sort. Probably not a first, but I could see a second or third or something like that coming Seattle's way. I think Francis does want to collect draft picks. He talks a lot about getting, you know, how many darts you get at the board for the amateur draft. So I'm curious to see if he'll be able to do that. And I just wonder how much if somehow a higher priced veteran's coming in one of these trades.
What about the Philadelphia selection? A lot of people thought it was going to be James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, that's another one, right? That one kind of came out of nowhere. That one, you know, I'm curious because you would think Philadelphia would want to give up one of those contracts, either Van Riemsdyk or Voracek, right? Those are the two names we were hearing about. Those are two pricey veterans. So I wonder, it's hard to imagine that Philadelphia would say, no, we don't want to lose Torinsky, so we're going to give you something for that. So that might just be they like him. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that one. There could be more there. But it's shocking that it wasn't Van Riemsdyk or Voracek there.
I don't know if this is shocking, but and maybe this is what was expected from the Tampa Bay Lightning's list, but they do go the Yanni Gourde route instead of Andre Palat or Alex Killorn. Did that surprise you at all? Or it's a center, and he had a great Stanley Cup, and that's a highly coveted guy that Ron Francis would see on that list.
Yeah, it would be hard to pass up a Gourde if you're Seattle. Yeah. But what surprises me is that's all they're getting. You know, Tampa Bay obviously has salary cap issues. I really thought that somehow they would work a deal with Tyler Johnson in there. Like, you know, we'll take Tyler Johnson off your hand and his salary. They've been trying to get rid of that salary in Tampa. You know, we'll give you Tyler Johnson, who's from Spokane, who's from the state. And then on top of that, you know, for you taking him, we'll give you your pick of somebody else. So it's just if that's the deal just straight up, I'm surprised they didn't get more out of Tampa.
Doesn't it feel like some of these situations set up 2-for-1, maybe Tampa Bay, where they do need to shed some salary? Hey, we're taking Yanni Gourde, and then after this is done, maybe we strike a different deal. Maybe it's the same in St. Louis, depending how motivated the Blues have to be to get out from the Vladimir Tarasenko contract, whether it's even just as a holding company for that asset. Doesn't some of this smell of that to you?
Yeah, a lot of it does, and you just mentioned two great ones. And I have a hard time thinking they'll go into the season with this young of a roster for their first year. So I think there could be a veteran coming. Tarasenko was one that I thought they were going to take. I was a little surprised. Vince Dunn's a good young player, though, so it's not the worst thing in the world. But I really thought that they were going to draft him and maybe flip him right away, or maybe hold on and do him until the trading deadline. But that was a head scratcher, and maybe there is some deal that we haven't heard yet there.
The first two deals or first two leaks that came out this morning were the fact that the Kraken had come to terms with Adam Larsson, UFA from Edmonton. 4x4 has reported that deal, and reportedly he was offered the same deal in Edmonton, maybe a little bit longer term, but he chose a change of scenery and wanted to go to Seattle. Jamie Oleksiak, they've got a deal with him. We just don't know the terms for that. We had talked to a couple of agents, Andy, leading up to this expansion draft, saying Seattle is a destination and UFAs want to go there, and whether that's because of what happened in Vegas or just the city itself. Is that something that you've been hearing? You live in the area? Like UFAs, they want to come to the Seattle franchise?
Yeah, you know, that's always been the big question mark here, right? How excited are people to come to an expansion team? And Seattle's got some things going for it that I think would make it attractive. One is the city. It's a great city, a great place to live. And if you like outdoors, there's obviously plenty of opportunities to do outdoor stuff. I mean, you guys know it's very similar to Vancouver. So, and then also if there are Canadians or people from Vancouver, that would also be, you know, a chance to play pretty close to home. I think another big factor here is that Washington State does not have a salary tax. So you're going to make a little bit more bang for your buck if you play here, as opposed to some states where you're going to get double tax. So that also is a thing. I think the staff that Seattle put together is attractive. People have respect for Ron Francis. There's a lot of excitement here. And I think they're, you know, whenever they've hired somebody, you know, in the front office and you talk to them, one of the first things they talk about is, man, an opportunity to be part of something from the ground floor is really attractive. So that there may be some players who feel that too. Like you mentioned, what happened in Vegas, they've seen that this isn't, you know, your father's expansion process where you're going to be terrible for 3 or 4 years at least. You know, we were just taking scraps off other teams. So I think all that goes into making this an attractive place. I'm curious to see what those guys have to say about what drew them to doing that. You know, those are two good pickups for Seattle, though. I personally, I really like Alexiak as a player, and Larson's a steady defenseman, too. So those guys are probably going to anchor down their blue line.
Where is the Kraken rank in the Seattle sports scene? You know, we've got the Mariners, playing right now. You got the Seahawks getting camp underway, not to mention the Sounders, a very successful WNBA franchise, college football, the Huskies starting up. Like, where do you see the Kraken ranking in there?
Well, that's a good question. The buzz about this team has been, you know, at a peak ever since they announced, really since they announced the name was when it really blew up. People got really into it. And you see T-shirts, you see hats, you see fake jerseys from China all over town. You know, they haven't put their actual jerseys on sale yet, but there's been an inkling or a cry for that amongst the fan base. People are really excited. That being said, this is always going to be a Seahawk and NFL city first. Like they're probably even in a down year for the Seahawks, they're still going to be the number one draw or the number one talked about thing. You know, I think the Kraken will have a chance to work themselves into that conversation a little bit. Especially since right now we don't have a winter sport. There's no professional winter sport here. The Sounders are popular, but I don't think they're not as major of a sport as the NHL. I think once fans get their eyes on that, they're going to fall in love with the sport and the league if they haven't already. The Mariners, you know, it's summer sport, so it's a little bit opposite time. And they've been bad for so long that, you know, they're not necessarily the number one team anymore here. So, yeah, I think they have a chance to get under that Seahawk pecking order, you know, have them be like maybe second. I think there are hockey fans here who know the sport. I think there's a lot more, though, that don't and are going to learn pretty quick how great it is.
Andy I joining us for a few more minutes on Rintoul and Sermon. I want to get back to some of the actual selections. You mentioned the jersey sales. I'm sure they'd love to see names on the back of those jerseys. They might have to wait in Seattle for that because we don't know of the players selected how many are actually going to remain there. Mark Giordano. A lot of people say there's your first captain, former Norris Trophy winner, the leadership, and he can still play. Do you think he is long for Seattle because he will be coveted given that he only has 1 year left on his deal?
Well, personally, I'd like it. I think that's a great pick and a great way to start. But we are hearing reports already that there's deals in place, maybe one with the Rangers. We don't know what necessarily would be coming back to Seattle. But you're right. That salary is very attractive to a contending team. And, you know, they could either move him right away or they hold on to him to see where they're at come the deadline. And, you know, if the Seattle's in contention, they keep him. If not, they can move him pretty easily with that easy salary. So I would hold off. Maybe I'm buying a Giordano jersey if I was a Seattle fan. Maybe wait for a little bit longer and maybe even wait until the trade deadline next year and see before you go out and spend that money.
We mentioned Carey Price. He's not going to be there. They've got Chris Driedger, Vitek Vanacek, and Joey Decord. Is that good enough in goal? Are there subsequent moves to come, in your opinion?
I sense there's something else happening, whether it's in free agency or a deal. Those guys are all promising young goaltenders, but none of them really have a track record where they've been the number one guy for a full NHL season. You know, Driedger probably came the closest, but you know, if you look at Ron Francis' history, everybody remembers the Darling incident, right, where he was a backup or a 1B who had a good year, and Francis went out and got him, and then he never was the same. You know, you don't know if he's gun shy about that, but some of these guys could turn into that, but some of them could be great. There's just a lot of unknown, which makes you think that they could be still in the market for a veteran. I really thought they were going to go up to Vancouver and get Holtby. I was surprised to see that he wasn't the pick, just because I thought that would be a steady guy who, you know, maybe past his prime or his best years. But if you paired him with a Driedger, maybe then you have a decent pairing of a veteran and a younger guy. You know, so I will be surprised if these are the three goaltenders they go into the season with. It's just a lot of unknown, a lot of youth and just inexperience.
Well, you mentioned Scott Darling. He traded for Eddie Lack in Carolina as well, yeah. And that certainly didn't work out. They haven't named a goaltending coach yet in Seattle, unless I am mistaken. I wonder how much of that depends on which goalies are ultimately under the umbrella.
Yeah, it could be. They do have Andrew Allen is in their pro scouting department, and he has been an NHL goaltending coach in the past. He spent some time with Buffalo, which had me kind of eyeing Linus Ullmark out of Buffalo, but they protected him. Doesn't mean that Seattle can't still go after him in the UFA period, the free agency period, if Buffalo can't sign him here in the next couple of weeks. So that's a name that I still have kind of in the back of my mind just because he does have a connection. And from what I understand, Andrew Allen and Ullmark had a good relationship when he was in Buffalo. I don't know if they plan on moving Allen into that goaltender and coach position or not, but he does have a lot of experience doing that. So we'll have to wait and see. They've hired two assistant coaches, but they haven't gotten that far down into the goaltending coach, as you said.
Andy, great stuff, and there's so much more to come because the way Ron Francis has set the table here, Seattle has the ability to be very active in the short term and in the weeks to come as well, especially going into free agency. Thank you very much for your time today, and I look forward to reconnecting in the future.
Hey, my pleasure. It's always fun talking hockey.